I want you to take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter 3. We now become a little more serious about the service, if you will. Make sure your cell phone is off so it doesn't go off during our service. If you need to step out, I want it to be an emergency. And Daniel chapter number 3. Once you arrive there, find verse number 15. Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 15, I'm going to ask that you stand with me out of reverence for the Word of God. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse number 15. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, Daniel 3:15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now go to verse 21. Now these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that stood, that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let me pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. I pray, God, that you will do a work in our midst. Holy Spirit of God, still the crowd. May the young people sit still and pay attention. May all of us be challenged. And God, somebody here today will make it this week or this month because they properly respond to the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Challenge the Christians, and may we all be like Jesus, more so when we leave than when we came in this place. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The king alive at the time of the story that I just read to you was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. There are three young men in the story. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These boys were in captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar had constructed and put together a decree that when the people in his kingdom heard the sound of an orchestra, they were immediately to fall down and worship the image that he had put together, probably an image of himself. The king said, now, if you disobey, the punishment is going to be that you're going to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. People have been hearing this story for years and years and years. These three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they loved God. They heard the king. They heard his command. And then the orchestra began to play, and they were expected to bow down. Now, they didn't bow. They were arrested for not bowing down. And they, just as Nebuchadnezzar said, they got a burning fiery furnace ready to throw these boys into it for not bowing down. And everybody looked right this way. Now, the boys, their response to all of this, in Daniel 3:17, it says this, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. In other words, the orchestra played. These boys did not bow down. They fire up the furnace. They're going to get thrown in. The boys said to the king, Listen, our God can deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. Then they made another response in verse 18 and said, But if not, And they go on to say, "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Huh. But if not, and you know what they're saying. They said, okay, we think God can deliver us. And we think he will. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down and worship that false god. I think these three boys had made a decision. We're going to love God in the good times. And we're going to love God in the times that are not so good. Amen. You throw me in the fire and God delivered me, I'll throw a party. Throw me in the fire, God doesn't deliver me, I'll throw a party in heaven. But one way or another, you're not going to stop me from loving my God. You see, they faced possibility number one, God's deliverance. They, I think these boys, I'm not real sure that they were standing around saying, "All right, we're going to get thrown in the fire. Woo-hoo!" No, I think these three boys are saying, "Get us out of this. Get us out of this. Get us out. I don't want to go through this." I'm sure we would all had real strong faith. We would have been very, very confident. But I think they prayed and said, "God, spare me. Oh God, do a miracle. God, save me. I don't like fire. I don't like roasting weenies or marshmallows. Don't turn me into a s'more." I'm really sure these guys didn't want it. And that's where you and I spend a lot of our life. When we face something hard, we spend a lot of our prayer time saying, "Get me out of this. Get me out of this. Give me a deliver me." And it's really not all about him getting credit for delivering. It's all about you being delivered. It's get me out of this. They knew that possibility number one was this desire to be delivered. But then they also knew there was a possibility number two. And that was that God wouldn't deliver them. So you know what I think? I think they were saying, "Deliver me, God, if you will, but if you don't, give me the courage to be a good Christian when I'm not delivered. God, if you don't deliver me, give me the courage to go through what I must and with a good attitude. God, give me grace if there is no deliverance. God, if you don't answer me my way, give me the backbone to behave right when I don't get what I want." Hey, Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. I'll promise you, before Daniel went in the lion's den, God said, that Daniel probably said, "God, deliver me from the lion's den. But if not, give me the courage to become a lion snack with a good Christian attitude." Hey, Moses, how about, hey, y'all remember? Moses, God, he probably said, "God, deliver me when Pharaoh's armies are pursuing me toward the Red Sea." And Moses wanted to be delivered. Pharaoh's army was going to destroy him. But I really believe in Moses' heart. Moses said, "God, deliver me. But if not, God, give me the courage to be attacked and slaughtered by Pharaoh's hateful soldiers and still keep my head high because you're still my God. I will still love you. Hey, if I don't get what I want, I'll have a good attitude anyway. You're still my God." The Apostle Paul, what are you facing? He said, "Look, everywhere I go, I walk into town, they beat me and put me in jail." And I think Paul probably prayed and said, "Lord, help me. I'm going into this next town. Everywhere I go, I walk in. They take my briefcase, take it down to the jail, check me in, beat the snot out of me. And they say, 'Well, we've got him again.' He said, 'Deliver me from that.' He said, 'But if not, help me to sing at midnight with my buddy Silas when we're in jail, because we're going to keep on serving God, even if it doesn't go my way.'" You take a look at John, and John is the one that called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He took a stand for Jesus after the resurrection of Christ. And I really believe this. I think when John was taking his stand, he said, "God, deliver me from the persecution that's going to come upon me for taking a stand." He said, "But if not, help me to keep praising you while they exile me to the Isle of Patmos and boil my living body in a cauldron of oil." And just so you know, he did not get delivered. He went to the exile on the Isle of Patmos. He was boiled in oil, and he still went around saying, "I am the disciple who Jesus loved." Hey, what happened to John had nothing to do with John's concept of the greatness of God and how wonderful God was. And folks, let me tell you something. We live in a day where we have a health and it's kind of a health and wealth kind of a philosophy around religion. God's good to me, so I love God. Let me tell you something. God's good to you because you're not in hell, and anything that happens to you is better than hell, and every last one of us ought to take God off a trial and decide that you love God and that He's your God, and no matter what you face this week, God's still good. God's still great. God still loves. God's still Jehovah God. Hey, Noah, you're facing a flood. And I'm sure Noah said, I don't want to face a flood. I don't want to go through a flood. God, deliver me when the flood comes. I don't want to drown in a flood. But I also think he said, God, give me the courage to deal with it if I must go through that flood. David said, God, help me to conquer Goliath, but if not, hey, if the birds are eating my flesh as Goliath predicts, help me to keep the courage to uplift my God while the birds are eating me. You know, folks, there are people in history that have been through some pretty tough times for Jesus Christ. Some of you ought to check into history and Fox's Book of Martyrs and the catacombs and how Christians have been tortured through the years. You know, you have somebody at work give you just a moment of a hard time with three words in a partial sentence, and you're devastated. You're whining. You have your mamby-pamby tail put between your legs, and you're whining like you're going to die because somebody said something a little difficult for you. There are people that have hung on crosses and been crucified, not just Jesus, Christians, for their stand of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I want God to deliver us from the hardships, but if He doesn't, He's still God. He's still God. Hey, listen, in what instances could you and I, the way they put it was, but if not? But if not? If I'm delivered, wonderful. But if I'm not, I still want to be a good Christian. Let me analyze this for you and I. Pray, God, deliver me from this disease. God, deliver me from this health issue. But if not, has sickness come to your body? Is it cancer? Is it multiple sclerosis? Is it a crippling arthritis? Is it cerebral palsy? Let me tell you, let's pray that God would take it away. But I'm going to tell everybody here that faces any kind of a health issue, go ahead and pray and say, God, take it away. But could I add something to your prayer? Could you pray and say, oh, God, heal me, take it away. But if not, I still want to serve you. I still want to love you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. If I must face some health difficulties from now to the day that I die, I still want to have joy. I still want to have peace. I still want to have victory. Hey, is it heart disease? Is it Lou Gehrig's disease? Is it dementia? Is it Alzheimer's? Is it Alzheimer's? Is it Alzheimer's? Do you have back problems, heart problems, foot problems, in-law problems, whatever the growth is that's on your body that is irritating you? Let me tell you, you may say to God, God, deliver me, and I want you to. And let's pray to that effect. But you better throw in, but if not, I still want to serve you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to believe in you. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to become hateful. Look, folks, I may have a sick body, but I don't have to have a sick attitude. But if not, hey, not only in regard to illness, pray, ask God to deliver you, but throw into the prayer, but if not, if the devil gets in your marriage. You say, that's about to happen. The in-laws are coming at Thanksgiving. But if not, try the treble on this, Dave. Thank you. There you go. Hey, God, deliver me. The devil, he's gotten involved in my marriage. Hey, has Satan entered in where there, at one point there was love and there was peace. And you and your spouse, you got along so well. Oh, maybe the devil got in there. Maybe it was adultery. Maybe it's the finances. Maybe it's differences about the children. Maybe there's a lack of forgiveness or a coldness or an unkindness. And you need to pray and you need to say, God, help me. God, help me. Deliver me from that. Help me to fix that. But I'm going to tell you something. Did you know it takes two to fix it?
And if one's willing and the other one's not, the one that says, I'm willing, but I'm not getting anywhere, let me tell you something. You better say to God, God, deliver me. But if you don't deliver me, you help me, God, to stay faithful to you. You help me, God, to keep loving you. You help me, God, to keep a good attitude. You help me, God, to keep my joy. You help me, God, to stay faithful to church. And let me say something to everybody in here. If your marriage goes astray, that does not mean you're to go astray on God. You're to stay in church. Keep loving God. He's still the God of the universe. He's still the great and the provider of all things. So I say, oh God, save my marriage. But God, if for some reason I'll do my part, he won't do his part. I'll do my part, she won't do her part. If some reason my marriage is not salvaged, God, give me the courage to stay in church and to keep doing right and to love you and to serve you and to not turn my back on you. But if not. I don't like the but if nots. You know what I want? I want everybody, I want everything salvaged. I want everybody happy. I want everything to go smoothly. But have you noticed? It doesn't always turn out that way. So what do? We beg for deliverance. We beg for God's intervention. We beg for miracles. But it'd be a real good idea for you to get your attitude to the point where if you don't get what you want, you just keep going with a good attitude and love God anyway and keep serving Him. May I say, if you're facing a dilemma financially, matter of fact, if you're not, come see me. Boy, do I need you. If you're facing a dilemma financially, you have a mess financially that seems unsolvable, maybe it's self-inflicted because of bad decisions. Don't tithe, you don't give the Lord, you made some financial silly things. Okay, so you faced a setback. Or maybe you faced a financial setback that was just what I might call life-inflicted. Medical, a catastrophe come your way. Didn't see it coming, but it hit you. But whatever the case, you are facing a hardship financially. I think it's good that you pray, God, deliver me. Hey, God, get me out of this lion's den. God, don't let me drown in the flood. Hey, God, get me out of the burning fiery furnace. God, get me out of jail. God, don't exile me to the Isle of Patmos. But if not, you give me the courage, God, to hang in there and keep serving you. Hey, look, you say, oh, God, save my house. You live in a $400,000 home. And you got some hardship on you. And you're saying, oh, God, save my home. Let me tell you, he may or he may not. That's not up to me. But I will tell you this. I think you ought to have this attitude. God, save my home. But if you don't, I'll still serve you. But if you don't, I still love you. But if you don't, you're still a good God. But if you don't, I'll still keep on giving what I'm supposed to give. I'll keep doing my part. God, if you don't do for me what I want you to do for me, I will do for you what I'm supposed to do. And might I say, with a good attitude, with a good spirit. But if not, I want to keep a good attitude. But if not, hey, if you don't bail me out, you know how many people there are that have a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours attitude with God? You say, well, I just feel like I'm due. I'm due from God. Let me tell you what you're due for from God. We all deserve to die and go to hell. What we're due for is to die and go to hell. But wait a minute. God loves us, and he's merciful, and he's so good, and he's so kind. Folks, you know the worst thing that you face on this earth is better than what we truly deserve? Wow. I want you delivered. I want your financial dilemma fixed. I want your body healed. I want your marriage strong. But I'm going to tell you something. Have you all stopped and taken a good long look at what we face? I don't always get what I want. You won't always get what you want. Not everybody always gets delivered. You don't always get the miracle that you wanted to have. You may not always get out of the flood. You may not get out of the lion's den. You may have to face it. Let me tell you, God needs some Christians that will say, whatever comes my way, I love you. God, you are my God. If I get what I want or I don't get what I want, I will have a good attitude. I will have a good spirit. I will keep on serving you. I will give you my best, God, no matter what. Let me tell you something. If you could develop that attitude, you're more apt to get what you want. But I think God knows some of you. God, give me what I want, and I'll keep serving you. God says, yeah, but wonder if I don't. And he knows your heart. He knows you'll get bitter. He knows you'll get nasty. He knows you'll blame. He knows you'll cop out on him. He knows you'll start dropping out of church and dropping out of your obligations to God. He knows if he doesn't give you what you want. What do you think you're going to do? Blackmail God? You do what I want, God, if you want anything out of me. I got news for you. You're treading on thin ice, buddy. You don't talk to God that way. You don't treat God that way. Some of you better thank God he's been as merciful as what he has been with some of you. As merciful as what he has. Hey, God could have taken some of you off the scene a long time ago. He might have been waiting for you to hear a sermon like this where you could get your heart right, because some of you passed judgment on God a long time ago. You asked God for something. You didn't get what you wanted. Things didn't go your way. You copped out on God. You're backslidden away from God. You don't have a good attitude toward God. And you're blaming it all on God. And the truth of the matter is, you should have prayed what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. You should have said, God, deliver me. But if you don't, I'll stay in church. I'll keep serving God. I'll keep loving God. I'll keep being faithful. But if not, you know something, as a pastor, I wish every one of you, I could promise you total deliverance. Everyone. I wish the $1 billion bills I gave away today, Shirley, I wish they were real. I'd give you 20 of them, huh? I would. I wish I could do everything you all need. I wish we could do a Benny Hinn and cackle and get you all healed up. I do. I wish we could heal y'all. I wish I could give you all the money that you need. I wish you'd never have a flat tire again. I do. Goodyear doesn't, but I do. I love you, but somebody loves you even more is God. And he knows what he's doing. And if God has chosen not to spare us, he may have a reason. You say, what in the world could the reason be? Well, it might just be because God wants someone to show the rest of the world how to go through hardship with a good attitude. Let it make you better, not bitter. Better, not bitter. Hey, you say, life, in my life, here's what happens, son. You face the death of a loved one. You and they're facing the death. You say, oh, God, please spare their life. I was thinking of Brother Dave. We announced to the church, Dave Granowski, he rushed to his dad's bedside thinking his daddy was passing away. They called him in, called hospice in, said, come see him if you want to see him alive. I think somebody prayed and said, spare the man's life. But David knew his daddy was passing. What a miracle, Dave. He gets there, the family gets there, and days later, his dad's doing better. I think they sent him home, or they are, from the nursing facility where he was, said, yeah, going home. He rallied. What a miracle. Thank God for deliverance. But Dave, had your daddy passed, you need to serve God anyway. You need to stay faithful to God anyway. You say, with somebody I love, they passed away, and I asked God to spare them. I'm sorry. You do all realize, sooner or later, we're going to close our eyes in death. We're either going to get out of here by way of death, or we're going to get out of here by way of rapture. I have my preference. I'd rather go up alive than dead. But folks, understand something. If you're not careful, you'll become bitter after the death of a loved one. You beg God, oh, save them or salvage them. But for some reason, their life was not spared. You should have prayed, God, deliver them. But if you don't, I'll love you, God. I'll not turn my back on you, God. I'll keep serving you, God. Was it an unborn child? Oh, that's as much a life as one that comes forth from the womb. But if you're not careful, you can develop an attitude. You got cheated. You got cheated is what happened. Let me tell you something. Everybody here, when it comes to the death of anyone that you love, you ought to pray and say, oh, God, spare them. Oh, God, keep them alive. Oh, God, give them more days with me. But if you don't, you are still my God. I will have a good attitude. I'll not use this as an excuse to stop coming to church. I'll not quit all my responsibilities and duties for you, God, because of it. I'll not hide away and wither away to nothing. I'll not let what I didn't get ruin my joy, ruin my spirit, ruin me. I'm going to keep a good attitude while I'm busy not getting what I ask for. You all realize that when our children throw a tantrum after not getting what they want, parents say, go stick your nose in a corner. Parents don't have any character used to. Today, they just let their children express themselves. Throw your fit. I threw a fit once. They changed. My brother had a bedroom. I had the woodshed. Look, the one you love, I don't want to see him pass. I don't want to see him die. But folks, sooner or later, we're going to face it. But what I think is, I think God is saying, if you don't get what you want, you better keep your eyes on me. You better keep your spirit right. You better keep your heart right. Go ahead and some of you have dreams, and some of your dreams have been crushed. We all have some dreams. We have some desires. Maybe something you wanted. Maybe something has happened and it crushed your dream. I'm for everybody here. If your dream is a godly dream, go ahead and pray and say, oh, God, please. God, give me my dream. God, give me the desire of my heart. God, do that for me. But be careful. Be careful that you don't have the right attitude to go along with that. Go ahead and say, God, fulfill my dream. But God, if you do not, you are still my God. I am still going to have a good attitude. I'm not going to quit everything because I didn't get what I wanted from you. I'm not going to cop out on you. I'm not going to get a bad attitude. I had someone, I know a pastor, he was trying to build an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church. And so it's not as easy as what it might look, folks. If you're going to have standards and convictions and stand for what's right, people just don't flock to hear it. Oh, they like to hear you tell your stories and they like to watch you make them laugh. But every once in a while, when you throw a tirade about living right and getting out of the world, they don't all flock to that. And this fella, his church was going along and he couldn't really get it going and he couldn't get it going and he couldn't get it going and he kept saying to me, he said, I can't do this. I said, yes, you can. I can't do this. And he said, I can't. I said, you can. And finally, one day, he said, Brother Owens, I've had it with fundamentalism. You know what? He was begging God to build his church. And if God wouldn't, he quit on God. And he's out of the ministry today. Brother Young, let me tell you something. As my friend and as a witness, if I can't build a church, I can still love God. I can still believe the Bible. And it wasn't God's fault his church didn't grow. God's able. Everybody wants somebody to blame. It's got to be somebody's fault. You know, folks, we just can't always have what we want. It may not always go our way, but everybody here ought to develop the right attitude. God, if I don't get what I want, you're still my God. I'm still going to sing in church. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to win souls to Christ. I'm still going to give like I ought to give and do what I ought to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to get thrown in a burning fiery furnace. And they told the king, and I'm sure they did it with some aggression. They said, oh, king, you throw us in that furnace, our God will deliver us. Maybe the king turned his nose up at it. And then one of the boys spoke up and said, but if not, we're still not going to bow down and worship your image. We are not serving our God because everything's going our way. We are serving our God because of what he is. And he is the God of the universe, and we're serving him come whatever comes. Hey, I've got good news for you. There is no but what if not in regard to salvation. Let me show you what I mean. If you go to God and say, God, save me. Take me to heaven when I die. You don't have to follow it up with a prayer that says, but if you won't, no, God will. You say, I don't want to go to hell. I want delivered. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. You can go ahead and put 100% of your confidence in that saving God. You don't need an exit plan on the thing. You go to God and say, God, would you save me? He'll say, yes. You don't have to say, but if you won't, God say, you don't have to worry about that. My hand is not shortened that I can't reach down and save you. Hey, my love is not so weak. I will save you if you'll let me. Folks, we live in a day and an age where Christianity has become very anemic. We've got sucked into the health and wealth type of an attitude. It's God take care of me and I'll take care of you back. And God, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And God, you give me what I want and then I'll give you what you want from me. I'm sorry. Our God deserves far better than that. Far better than that. Hey, and He does deliver. Think about the miracles you have experienced in your life and what God's done for you. God's not forsaken us. God's not forgotten about us. But a little attitude that might be good for you to stick in your pocket. God deliver me. But if you don't, that's fine. I'm going to keep serving you. God, don't let my heart be broken. But if it is, I'll keep teaching my Sunday school class. I'll keep tithing. I'll keep singing. Because God, what happens to me is not the issue. You deserve glory and honor and majesty no matter what happens to me. Folks, you just need to know it's really not all about you. It's all about Him. And He is worthy. And He is worthy of all praise and all glory. But if you're not saved, don't worry. If you say, God, I want it, but if you can't, He say, no. Doesn't work that way. I got what you need. 100%, He'll save you if you're unsaved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, who in here that's away from God, something didn't go your way a long time ago? And as a result of it, you're backslidden, you're away from God. Something didn't go your way. You don't like something that happened. So you've just virtually taken it out on God. It's God's fault. Somebody here needs to get you. You need to rearrange your thinking toward the maker of the universe. Somebody in here, you're facing something right now, and it's hardship. It's a difficulty. Why don't you say this? God, deliver me. Oh, God, help me. But God, let me tell you something right now. If you don't, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'll sing. I'll have joy. I'll keep going. God, you won't find me whining about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Take the health problem away. But if you don't, I'll be at church. I'll do my part. First question is this. What Christian here today would say, I guess in some way I've probably turned my back some on God. I've almost struck up some sort of a deal and I've shortchanged Him. I've not had the right attitude about this thing. And God has spoken to my heart about saying to God, but if not, and I want to fix it. Could you raise your hand? I see hands up already. Oh, lots of hands. Amen. Amen. You may put those hands down. Are you here today and unsaved? If you died today, you're not sure you go to heaven. Let me then say to you, if you're unsaved, we'd like for you to get born again. All you have to do is say, I want to be born again. And God will help you to be born again. And there's no wondering about it. He'll save you. Who here would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be saved. And I'm willing. I want God to save me. I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Don't know that I'm saved. I'd like to go to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven when I die. Pray for me, Pastor. I see a hand. Somebody else, you say, I need to be saved. All right. If you raise your hand for salvation in a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. When we have that altar call, you come. You'll know when. I'll tell you when. There's some Christians in here. You let your health steal victory in your life. You let your bad finances steal victory in your life. You let some relationship. You got a bad relationship with one person, but you're nasty to everybody. I'm going to guess that something's gone wrong there. You need to say, God, deliver me from whatever the mess may be. But God, if you don't deliver me, and if I have to live with this health problem, if I have to live with financial struggle for the next 10 years of my life, I will keep a good attitude. I will serve you. I will be happy. And God, I'll do right by you no matter what I must face. There are people here that need to adjust and develop that attitude. You might need a moment at this altar. And if you do, you come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need this altar, why don't you come to it? You come to this altar and say, God, whatever it is, whatever comes upon me, I'm going to keep on serving you, and I'm going to keep a right attitude about it. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, somebody passed away, and since then, you've really not been right with God. You've had a bad attitude because of that loss. Now, God knows, thank God for heaven, and I'm sorry you faced a loss. But we need to develop the attitude, God, when you transfer someone from this earth to heaven, I'm going to keep on serving you. I'm going to keep on loving you. I'm going to have a good attitude. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you go ahead and throw us in the burning fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, doesn't matter. He's still our God. We will still love him. We will still serve him. We will still give to him. There are some of you, you give to God. You give your tithe. You give your offering when you like everything that's happening. But when you don't like it, you withhold it. You are robbing God. And by the way, you've got a bad attitude. You don't get what you want, so you think you're going to punish the church or punish God. Boy, are you in for some hard lessons in life. Take God off trial. Stop judging God. See, there's a problem between me and God. Yeah, and I can tell you what the problem is. It's not God. It's not God. But if not, said they, but if not, we'll not serve the false gods. But if not, we'll not give up. But if not, we'll keep praising him. We'll honor him. We'll bring glory to his name.